This episode of the Fair Game Podcast is brought to you by the Fair Game Golf app. It's like having a clubhouse and a scorecard on your phone. Connect with golfers across the globe, find people to play with, and track your rounds all in one place. If you want to show off that new putter or flex that you're about to play a top 100 course, you can do that too. It's like any other social media app, but just for golf. Best of all, it's 100% free. Head to the Apple or Google Play stores and check it out. Fair Game, the app for golfers. Welcome to the Fair Game Podcast. It's so nice to have you guys on. For our listeners, do you guys want to take a quick second and introduce yourselves, Julie and Alexis? Who wants to go first?
Go alphabetical order. Okay, fine. My name is Julie Anderson. I am the founder of women's lifestyle and golf brand called Sydney James, and I'm based in New York City, but currently visiting some family in Palm Springs.
Awesome. It's warm. Are you playing any golf out there?
I mean, I feel like it'd be a sin if I didn't.
Yeah, you have to. I've never played golf out there. Like, what are the go-to courses?
Well, I mean, there's a million and one incredible country clubs and private courses, but one of my favorite public courses is called Desert Willow, right in Palm Desert.
Nice.
And then my mom and my dad like bought this condo, which I'm at right now, like in the early 90s, and it's attached to an Omni property called Rancho Las Palmas. So my mom lives like within a grapefruit's throw to a hole. So also like my favorite thing is to like 4 o'clock when the course is really quiet, like my family and my husband will jump on a golf cart and play like 5 holes. So that's probably my favorite way to play golf out here.
Love that. It's fun.
No dress code, no rules.
That's the best. It's the best way to play. I agree. I like the little random like 5 holes. We're just going to do 5 and that's it.
Do what you got to do, you know?
That's all you need. So Alexis, give everybody a quick intro. Then I want to talk about your trip across the pond that you were just on, which looked unbelievable. But yeah, give everybody the high level intro first, then we'll dig into it.
Yeah, Alexis Belton, professional golfer, played a little bit on LPGA Epson, Australia, and a couple other things, but better known for long drive. At one point was number one American, number three in the world. And now I do a lot of media things and just honestly love to try and utilize the game of golf to figure out how to innovate things. I feel like a lot of people, yeah. So I'd say that's probably the biggest thing.
Awesome. Love that. And then, so when did you get back? Last week?
A couple weeks ago.
Got it. Cool. And how was that trip? I mean, it looked
great. Yeah. So I was recently with Manor's Golf in Scotland and I think I fell in love with golf all over again. It was just the best people. The best time and the worst weather, which made it the perfect trip.
Was it more wind or rain or combination?
Yeah. So when we played Narn, it was beautiful driving up and then like 50 miles per hour wind, then a ton of rain, then perfect, then a 5-minute hailstorm, and then sunshine. So everything.
Yeah, I was going to say the weather over there is very bipolar, which is, I guess, part of the intrigue, you know? That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, I think if you want to experience anything similar, go to Texas right now.
Interesting. Wait, do you live in Texas?
I lived in Texas for a little bit.
Where are you now?
Atlanta. Where are you living now?
Oh, you're in Atlanta. Got it. Cool. So we are, what is today? April 19th. We've had the first major of the year. Shout out Scotty Scheffler, which was great. I feel like at least here in New York, after the Masters, that's when everybody's like, okay, golf's back and it's crazy again. And you can't get a slot at Chelsea Piers to hit balls. And it's just chaos. But I'm sure you guys have had some interesting moments, happenings, highlights of your year so far in golf. If you had to pick like one thing has been like the coolest, interesting thing to happen with you in golf so far, what would that be? We're going to flip it up and go with Alexis first. You choose.
I mean, I have to say my trip to Scotland, it was obviously any trip to Scotland where you're playing golf is amazing, but the group of people that Manor's put together, I think that's what it's all about. Like getting to play with Shane Caney, Liz Breed, and Jordan Rogers. It took us to go across the pond in order to meet each other, but that has definitely been the highlight, is just playing with some amazing people at the home of golf.
Love that. That's very cool. By the way, Liz is great. She's been on the podcast before. She's also my golf instructor, so I will be seeing her next week. I was DMing her. I was like, when are you coming back?
Like, yeah, she's been gone for a minute, so that means you're about to listen in a hot second.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get roasted. I'm like, please, when are you coming back? Like, I need a session. So I'll be seeing her next week. Julie, what's been awesome for you in golf so far this year?
You know, I think I'll carry on the sentiment that Alexis shared in like all about who you're playing with. I'm obviously not a professional golfer and have not played on any tours or a long drive champ. But golf for me is all about spending time with people. And so especially being in the desert in April, it's been really cool. Like since, like I said, we've been coming out here since the 90s. And so like my grandparents were always out here in the winter time. Like my cousins all fly out, my aunts, my uncles. So it's kind of like a month long family reunion. And every single person in my family plays golf, which I think is like shocking. Like we have like 20 some cousins and seriously, every single one plays golf to some extent. And so it's just being able to like I said, like pop out and play a few holes and catch up with my cousins that I, you know, only see once a year. So never about the course I'm playing. Like, honestly, I kind of even forget what the course looks like the minute I get into the parking lot. And more about who I get to play with. And so this month has been really special that I get to play a few holes with people I love the most.
That's awesome. I need to figure out a way to get, I'm the only person in my family that plays golf. I need to figure out a way to be that catalyst that just drags them out and be like, let's just go hit some balls. It doesn't matter. Cause that's cool. Cause you can just walk around the house and grab three people and then you have a foursome and then you just go.
Yes. But I think one of the cool things about golf though, is I think that's becoming more and more accessible, you know, like with the Top Golfs and the in Chelsea Piers where it's like a little bit more entertainment vibes. So it's a little bit less intimidating to just like roll up on a driving range and force somebody to be there. I think you have a better chance being like, do you want to go grab something to eat, something to drink and maybe hit balls while we're doing it. So I think there's like, you know, kind of a lower barrier to entry now, which is hopefully you can get your entire family to golf because of it.
For sure. And I think just that the notion of not having to play 18, it's funny where I've really come to appreciate that. Like I might try to sneak out this afternoon and play 9 holes if I can before the sun goes down, but it's like, it's fun and you get just enough, like 9 holes, 6 holes, 5 holes, just go play a couple holes and then you're good.
Yeah.
I feel like if I commit to like playing 5 holes, then I'm more likely to play more. But if I commit to playing 18, after 18, I'm just like, I'm done.
Right. You're done. It's too
I don't
much.
Know what the mentality is that, but yeah. It's like 9, then I'm like, oh, let's keep going. But if I commit to 18, it's like, oh, I already paid for this.
Right.
It's like going to the gym when you're like, I'll just go for 10 minutes. You always longer than 10 minutes. Versus if you're like, I'm going in for like a 45-minute programmed workout, I'm like dragging
them. You're dragging. Yeah. The 45-minute class, you're dreading it before you've even gotten there. 100%. That's really funny. How'd you guys start playing golf, by the way? Alexis, when did you start playing?
Yeah, I played. I had a basketball scholarship. I played basketball my entire life, along with probably every other thing. But that was like my main sport. And then discovered golf my junior year of high school. Junior-ish year. And literally the health coach, who was also, you know, the history coach, teacher, who's also like the football coach and the soccer coach. He said, do you want to play golf? And I said, no. And then he said, you get out of school all day, you get free food and you get to pick out your outfit. And I was like, you should have led with that.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into golf.
That's pretty awesome. And then you played, you played on the team and then, cause I've always been curious about, I've met a few people that they started playing when they were younger. Some were more of like, all right, I play with my parents or my dad. And then there's this kind of like a weekend thing. I've always been intrigued by people that picked up the game and then went straight into competitive golf. Like, what is that experience like? Yeah, because you just started playing and the next thing you know, you're going up against another school. And there's, you know, there's kids that are like going super hard that have probably been playing for 5 years. Like, what was that experience like?
I think golf's like the ultimate competitor sport. So if you're competitive, like, playing Uno with my family is wild. Like, honestly, you should go beforehand, you know? And so, I can remember I couldn't beat the kids, but we would always try and juggle. And I stayed home all night juggling. And I got back and I beat them in juggling. So I think it's just like that one thing of like, how can I get better? Stick you around for it. But it was fun. And then my, you know, one of my basketball coaches said, "You're going to regret doing this. Like, you don't need to be doing two things." And I was like, "Well, I'm a walk on, or I'm going to get a scholarship to college." And he's like, "Oh, you'll never do that." And I was like, "Oh, it's a perfect, no, don't say that to me, right? Of course I'm going to get a scholarship just to prove you wrong." Yeah. So yeah, I think it's just the competitive edge that drove me deep into the game. Also, I think that the one thing that we all experience is when you hit your first solid shot, it is like none other thing in the world. Like, you're just like, dang, I can do that. How many times can I do that?
And it's true. It is the ultimate. I mean, I guess, what is it? It's just your brain is releasing dopamine. Is that what it's pretty? It's pretty much just that. There's nothing like it. It's the greatest feeling. It's like, yes, I did it. And it's, and I want to do it again. It's so good. Julie, how did you start playing?
I started playing as a kid, pretty young. My dad was a golf pro at a course in northern Minnesota in Duluth. And so I kind of had no choice but to get into golf. So I played junior golf as a kid. And I was also a really like competitive and serious gymnast. And so my parents were both like, you know, "You're going to like retire at the age of 18, unless if you, you know, do gymnastics in college. So like, you have to play another sport." So I kind of started playing golf, kicking and screaming a bit, because it was the exact opposite athletic experience as gymnastics, where it's quiet and slow and all about like a measured tempo. But it came like quite natural to me, which I think was probably the reason why I kept playing. But they forced me to try out for the golf team in seventh grade. So I made the team as a seventh grader, which truly doesn't say much, because I think I was like the last girl to try out in order for like the golf team to even have enough people on the team to be a team. But I played seventh through 12th grade. And then when I moved away to college, I kind of stopped golfing in my 20s, because I didn't know any other like women and girls in college that played. So the only time I would play was like when I'd go back home and we'd play like in a scramble as a family. And then really, you know, moved to New York in my 30s and certainly didn't play, because my apartment didn't even have enough space for me to hardly live myself, let alone have a set of golf clubs. And then similar to everybody else, I really got back into it during COVID. And so meeting my husband, who's like a golf fanatic, certainly helps in getting back into it.
Love that.
That's and having awesome. A playing partner.
Yeah. See, that makes it great. That's awesome. By the way, I just Googled while you're talking. The current temperature in Duluth, Minnesota is 35 degrees.
Oh my goodness.
That sounds right.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm sure you've played a lot of cold weather golf.
You have no idea the cold weather golf we played. Well, like, similar like that. You jogged my memory, Alexis, when you were like, you get out of school all day. I was like, oh my God, I remember like never being in school, like April and May, like 2 days a week. They'd be like, "You've," and I was like, "I'm doing this for my school. I have to play on the golf team.
I have to represent.
I gotta go."
Yeah. But I mean, you would play in like layers of sweatshirts and then like those FootJoy, I'll never forget those like fleece gloves. Yeah. And you like pull it back. I mean, there'd be snow on the ground and we'd have a golf tournament.
Right. Cause it's like, cause you have to play.
You have to.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. I find it like, and I feel like there's more places. Like I hear some interesting things. One, I think Jason Day lives in Ohio, which is, you think all the pros live in like, oh, Florida, California, it's golf 24/7. You know, Ohio is just as cold as it is here. Like, they get snow. Winter is cold. I'm like, why do you live there? And then also, we had on the podcast, there's this guy that lives in Sweden that has a brand called July Sporting Goods. You know, it's cold there. It's very cold in Sweden. But golf is big there. And I always find it fascinating where places that have very extreme winters, there are still like huge golf communities. And as soon as it's like playable, and I say playable in quotations, they are out there and like they're getting it in and like maximizing every second of daylight, which I think is awesome. So I don't know. Part of me wonders if cold is worse than hot. Like, in some ways it's probably better to be cold, because I don't know, 110 doesn't sound fun, or like 97 and humid in Florida. I would probably rather play 35 in New York and put on a bunch of layers and just like walk and move, then, because when you start sweating,
Have you ever hit a really thin shot with cold hands?
Yes. It's not a great feeling.
I can still feel it.
You're like, I can feel. There's something about the walking. Like, look, when you stop for a shot, it's brutal. But when you are walking in between shots, you're like, oh, this is not that bad, which is funny. I bought some very strange stuff this year. I forget the name of the brand. They make this little, like, you know, when like the quarterbacks in the NFL, they have the little kangaroo pocket thing, and it has, apparently those things are like electric powered and like they get hot. So I bought one of those, but then it came super late. It came when winter was over. So I only used it 2 times, but it was almost too good. Like, it was hot. So I have that, and then like quilted pants and the hot hands and all those things. But yeah, I'm trying to play all the time and just like slowly acclimate my body to the colder months. But because in New York, if you want to play, you got to get out there.
Yeah.
So
sounds like you should spend your winters in the South.
Yes. Or that, or just go to Georgia or South Carolina. That's also ideal. Okay. One more question. I always like to ask people, you know, because we are a golf podcast, but also I think what I find very interesting about golf, especially when I'm playing golf with friends or new people, is that most of the time we tee off, we ask, you hit your first shot, you're walking down one. Oh, how long have you been playing? Like, whatever, like that type of thing. And then after that, none of the conversation, at least for me, is about golf. Most of it's about like other things. So I always like to ask people, what are they obsessed with or interested in other than golf? I think that's an interest, because you get to learn about like people. It's like, oh yeah, we're both here playing. We both obviously like golf. Great. We've checked that box. Like, what else is going on? I don't know, Julie, what else are you into? I mean, obviously Sydney James, which we'll talk about in a second. But yeah, what else are you into?
I feel like I'm a person that kind of says yes to anything. Like, if you're like, let's go play tennis, I'm like, okay, let's go hiking. Okay. I'm definitely a yes person. So I wouldn't say that I've ever had a hobby post like being a gymnast of being like really obsessed with anything. I'd say I'm more of a generalist. But you can find me, if I'm not working on Sydney James or hanging out with friends and family, I'm trying every restaurant, eating and drinking all of the things in New York City, traveling. I'm a pretty big bookworm. And I'll say yes to anything active, truly.
Fantastic.
Except for swimming. Don't ask me to go swimming with you.
That's funny. Okay. 2 questions about that. One, have you ever, this is something that I've thought about but never done, have you ever played golf and listened to an audiobook at the same time?
Not an audiobook, but I'm kind of like a never not listening to something or music person.
Mm-hmm.
So I listen to music while playing golf, for sure.
Strong. Second question. Is there, just because I've lived in New York way too long, I'm not going to age myself here on this podcast, but all of the restaurants, like my favorite, like handful of restaurants, most of them did not survive COVID. So like, I think in some ways, New York is kind of a new city. So I always like to ask people like, okay, like what are the interesting restaurants that are like you're in? Cause I used to have like West Village, go here, like Union Square, go here. And like those places aren't around anymore, which is a bummer. What are your, I'm going to give you top two restaurants right now. Any style of food, doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, I'm just doing like, this is like recency effect because I've been going there. Okay. But I just moved actually out of the city after the like 13 years and moved to Brooklyn Heights in the past 5 months. And so I'm going to pick some Brooklyn Heights faves. Great. One, Inga's. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I've heard of it. Haven't been. We're adding it to the list.
So
now.
Cozy, great French onion soup, insane burger, great cocktails. And it's just like, you walk in for one and you stay for 10. Could be drinks, could be hours. It's up to you. And then another favorite is Long Island Bar on Atlantic. If you haven't been there, put it on your list. Like, truly the best cocktails, best martini. I don't know what they do and how they shake it up. But my favorite is you can get like a burger and fries and a bottle of champagne for $99.
Oh, amazing. Wait.
Not a deal, but like, let's not call it a deal, but like, what a fun thing to put it on the menu.
That's pretty good. I mean, for two people in New York City, if you walk out of the restaurant and you've spent $100, I consider that a success.
That's Chipotle. You know, with like extra guac.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, food's expensive. Good food's expensive. I don't know. Yesterday, and I have these like old man moments sometimes where it's like, I was like, I work at WeWork by Grand Central, and I went into like that coffee shop chain, like Maman, and like got like a parfait, right? I'm trying not to eat carbs and trying to get some more protein in my diet, whatever. And it was $14. And I was like, this is yogurt. This is yogurt. This is crazy, but that's New York City. So anyways.
So you gotta eat a cow. But also, what book are you reading right now?
I am reading two books. One is Filter World. I just started it. So I read a book in the morning that's like typically about like business or leadership or something like that. And then I'll read fiction before bed. Okay. And then I can't remember even what the title is, but it's oh my God. She's a Brooklyn author. She owns the Books Are Magic bookshops. I'm blanking it at the moment, but it's a beautiful story about a daughter and her father and how she like time travels on her 40th birthday to go back to when she's 16. So she can relive the moments with her dad because her dad is dying of cancer. So given I lost my dad, I was like, this could be like a really beautiful book to kind of jog my memory and some of my memories with my dad. But I will get the title for you. It's beautiful.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Alexis, so what are you into other than golf?
Oh yeah. I am a lot like Julie. I am a yes person. Like I think adventure. If there's something with adventure or that if I do it, I can create a story afterwards. You know, it's like this happened and then we did this and then so this and it was crazy. and even if it's not crazy, it's like, and it was just the best of time sitting all together doing nothing. Yeah. You know? I live for those moments. But recently I've really been enjoying like digging deeper in the culture of golf, beyond just like, I feel like America, like what does golf look like in other countries and, how can we, I know we've developed a lot of those things here. But what are the roots? And so I guess it's back circling around golf. I feel like golf is the catalyst for me to learn more about different foods and drinks and people and languages and all those things. So that's been really fun. I'd say golf would probably take me to all the things that I'm enjoying now. So it's all surrounded around golf.
Yeah. That is still cool though, because I feel like there are very loose tangential, like golf is not just golf, especially in other countries. Like golf in Japan is golf, but then also like everyone stops and has like an hour and a half like lunch. So like food is part of golf and it's not just you shoving out a hot dog at the turn, which I think is interesting. So then it's like, there's all those layers to it, which I think make it really, really cool. So
really cool. Yeah. I'd say another thing too, is just, I've really, really, really been enjoying finding other things to be active in. So like pickleball has been a big thing, which is, I feel like everyone's on that ride. I'm trying to get into handball. I kind of want to make the USA handball team, which is very, you know, left turn.
I believe in you.
You can do it.
So I think like run clubs and then women's sports have been the big, just absolutely loving what's going on in women's sports right now. So following that pretty hardcore.
Oh, it's great. Does anybody think Caitlin Clark plays golf? She has to.
She does. Yeah. She played in the John Deere.
Did she? Awesome. Like she is probably one of the most like amazing athletes I've ever seen. Like insane, like insane. And so good. That'll be fun to see how she does in the WNBA. Do you guys want to take a quick snack break?
Yeah. The book is Emma Straub This Time Tomorrow.
Okay.
There's like nothing more nerve wracking when you tell people you read and they're like, what are you reading? And you're like, I can't remember. They're like, whatever.
Yeah. But here, are you more audiobook or OG hard physical? Yeah. I feel like that's better. Well, I don't know. I go back and forth because I feel like one, I need to read more books first and foremost, but then as a New Yorker, the convenience of the audiobook for the commute, I'm very big on like hands-free. Like that's a very important, especially during my commute. I thought about buying this morning and then I was like, you're being ridiculous, Andrew, and I'm probably going to go back and buy it. I thought about, this is going to sound very bougie, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I thought about buying, sometimes when I leave my house, I live in Queens, there's like a Dunkin' Donuts by me, but the coffee's not great. I was like, I want to be able to make my own coffee and walk out the door with it in my hand, but then have a cup that I don't have to carry around all day. because, you know, I'll make like a little cortado and then I'll drink it and then it's gone by like one train ride. So part of me is like, I want to be able to make a cup of coffee, walk out the door with it and throw the cup of coffee away by the time I get to the subway. So then I was like, oh, you should go on Amazon and buy a giant sleeve of disposable NYC coffee cups and just make them and then like dump it. And I was like, oh, you're being wasteful with the paper and this and that. But like the hands-free movement for me is very important, because there's nothing worse than like on a packed train, you've got coffee and obviously you have your phone. Sometimes they're carrying golf clubs and you have to hold onto the pole and then you, it's just, there's too many things. So anyways, I'm probably going to buy the cups.
Well, you should stamp them.
Yeah. I was going to get the OG, like the Greek pattern that says, thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
I have those.
Yeah.
I endorse that movement.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. I'm going to get some more coffee and yeah, guys, we'll be right back. Look, we've all done it. It's a slow Tuesday and your boss is out of town, so you sneak up for a round, but you still want to flex a little bit that you're playing that course before your buddies do. The Fair Game app has you covered. You can set up your round, and when you tee off, all your buddies will know about it. They can even hop in the comments and talk smack while you're playing. Want to post a video of you hitting the purest shot of the round? You can do that too, all without your boss knowing. It'll be our little secret. Fair Game, the app for golfers. All right, we are back. I got more coffee. What did you guys get?
Coffee and a little cutie.
There we go. Oh, the cuties are great. Cuties are dangerous because I can probably eat. Sometimes there's two things in my house that I love. Cuties, because I can eat like five of them. Or cherry tomatoes.
Oh, like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll just eat a whole box and I'm like, oh, I ate all the tomatoes and they're gone. They're delicious.
They are.
Alexis, what was your at the turn snack? What'd you get?
Water. I'm trying to drink a gallon of water a day. I'm on that kind
A gallon?
Yeah.
That's a lot of water. Here's a question. Do you time it? Do you space it out? Are you saying, okay, no, you're just like, okay, I'm a pint. I'm a quart.
I just get like the, you know, I just buy them in bulk and I'm like, okay, I have to drink this today. If I try and measure it out, it's not going to get done.
Right. Yeah, because I think I tried that for at one point, and then it'd be like 3 o'clock, and it's like, oh, you had like 12 ounces, and it's like, shit, like, am I going to make it? This is not good. That's really funny. How's it going? Have you been doing this for a long time or no?
It's just been a few days. Okay. I started when I went out of town, which was the worst time to start.
Not ideal.
So the plane ride was interesting. The golf event was very interesting, but we made it, you know, and I felt healthy.
Fantastic. See, that's good. Water is great.
I drink too much coffee, so I have to kind of like offset that. You know?
Yeah, I agree. That's awesome. So next question. I love to talk about, I always like to ask what that genesis moment is, like what sparked you to do what you do, because I think that's just very interesting. So Julie with Sydney James, which I think is really cool. You guys should definitely check it out. One, tell us a little bit about it. And then two, what was kind of like, I don't know, that like spark that went up in your brain that said, hey, I want to do this. Because I think it's really awesome when people have ideas. Like everyone has ideas to do crazy things. But then to actually take that idea and have that spark fuel you to bring it to life is also really cool. So I'd love to like unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, my dad was a golf pro. So I've been around golf my entire life. And when I moved to New York in early 2012, my dad passed away like very unexpectedly shortly after I moved. And so I think moving to New York as like what a 26-year-old was an experience in and of itself. And then losing a parent at that age was like something I couldn't really wrap my head around. I had been working for Lululemon at the time, shortly like moved to New York City, February of 2012 for this role at Lululemon, lost my dad a couple months later. Luckily, that company is like the most incredible brand I've ever worked for. Obviously like yoga is at the root of, and like the philosophy of yoga and all of like our internal company culture. And they paid for me to go to therapy for a year. And so in therapy, a lot of the conversations and exercises that I was engaging in all brought me back to the golf course with my dad. Like vivid memories of like walking down the fairway and hitting a horrible shot and wanting to like slam my club into the ground and having him be like, how you handle a shot is how you handle life. Like, you know, and just kind of like at the time, like lecturing me on the parallels of like how you navigate life and like how the golf course like really brings up all those lessons. So for that year after he passed, I had all of these incredible memories of my dad that I was like journaling about and being around athletic product and seeing how Lululemon was just like totally revolutionizing how people practice yoga and like meditation and that whole conversation. I was kind of thinking to myself, how can I carry on my dad's legacy in introducing people to the game of golf in a way that felt so special and exciting? And I always felt like I belong on a golf course because of my dad. And so I remember actually like 2013, my niece was born, who's named Sydney James. My dad's name was Stephen James. So my sister kind of wanted to continue like the whole naming convention a little bit after my dad. And I wrote a business plan and I was like, I want golf to be a space that women are excited to play. They feel like they belong and create better product for to wear on the golf course. And did nothing with it for over 10 years because I was like hustling to just like afford to survive in New York. And then it was really during COVID when my husband and I were quarantining in Palm Springs and we started golfing all the time. He was the one who really pushed me to be like, you should bring Sydney James back to the surface. And so that was like a really special moment during summer of 2020 where I was like, I still have the notes in my phone. It's like, I could scroll for like a week of all the ideas and thoughts and like little phrases. So starting in, you know, late 2020, early 2021, I like put one foot in front of the other. So it's been a very slow roll, but it's been a long time coming.
That's awesome. I think especially for golfers and women specifically in New York City, just because I live here and I can just speak from experience, there are lots of women that are trying to get into golf and it's hard to find that click, like just that idea of finding your tribe. Can you talk a little bit about like how you're creating community in New York, what types of things, gatherings that you do? Cause I think that's really cool. And I always think that New York is one of those places that's so big. There's like 9 million people that live here. And there's been so many times where like I meet someone or I'm walking down the street and I see someone with carrying golf clubs and it's like, wow, like, we're into the same things and our paths will never cross. Like I met a guy randomly and we ended up catching coffee and I realized that not only did he live a block from me, but he also loved golf. And I think those moments are really fun. So all of these golfers are out there, right? All of these people that are there, but like there's no way to connect and like get together. So talk a little bit about the things that you're doing and how you're helping women get into the game.
Yes. So as I mentioned, I was working at Lululemon. I've spent, you know, 15 years building brand and community at multiple brands. And I really think I like understood how to bring people together, real people together, all thanks to my roles at Lululemon. And so starting Sydney James, like I'm not a product expert. I am not a traditional marketing expert, but what I can do is like identify the right people to put into a room and change a conversation. And so for the past year, I've been hosting what we're calling swing sessions. And so what started as once a month, actually Liz Breed was like the first instructor that I worked with. And it was just bringing women into a space who've like either never touched a golf club or Alexis, I'm sure you hear the same story, like pretty much 90% of women's stories about golf are like, my dad took me once, or my uncle took me once, or I tried it with my brother and it was horrible. And they've like, you know, retired from golf at the age of 11. And so what I wanted these swing sessions to do is to introduce women to the game of golf in a way that felt like super inviting, very welcoming, zero pressure, so that they can like write their own script on what golf means to them. And so we were doing them monthly for almost a year. And then starting in this past December, I've been working with an indoor simulator company based in New York called Golf V2. And the founder has been so supportive in really trying to grow the game of golf with women and youth. And so now I'm hosting them four times a month. And we do 10 women with a female teaching instructor. And they've just really grown organically. Like they're now like in the women's Slack channels at different companies. And so again, like spent $0 on marketing and it's all just been creating an experience where people feel welcome and they're meeting other new friends who are also a beginner, which I think is key when you're learning how to golf, is to like be in a room of people who are kind of at the same stage as you. But it's been really incredible and fulfilling to see like these gals connect and then like go hit balls like without me, or now like working their way up to playing on a golf course for the first time. So we're doing a scramble actually at Flushing Pitch and Putt. If you want to come, May 17th, Andrew.
Yes.
And so all of these gals who have been coming, like it'll be like kind of their graduation to actually hitting a ball on a real golf course. And so, you know, the girls are wanting to golf, and we're finding a space for them. So it's lots to come, and more work obviously ahead of us, but I'm really proud of what we've done in the last year.
That's awesome. Yes. Literally sign me up. Pitch and Putt. That's the best. That place is so fun. Alexis, if you're ever in New York, we have to take you out to Queens. It's like right across from where the Mets play. It's great. It's like a little longest holes in 90 yards. It's not too far from the airport. You will hear planes flying to LaGuardia. It's great.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's such like a New York like place. It's great.
I said that's definitely go on the list, but also, Shirley, to your point, I think it's really interesting that golf is so big and there's so many places to golf, but not many spaces for women. And so what you're doing is like really important, because I think sometimes, you know, you can say like, oh, this house is open for anyone who needs anything. But if you're not telling them exactly how to get in or what that looks like or what they need to get in, then they never go into this free house. And so,
yes,
I think that's like the swing sesh. Those are really cool.
Yeah. And they don't know where to start, you know, like I think golf is one of those things. If you've golfed for a really long time, it's like second nature to you. Like even like the words we use, like to say like stroke, to say the word even stroke to someone who's not a golfer, they're like, what the hell's a stroke? You know?
Yeah.
So it is like truly, like I use the phrase, like, I'll meet you in the parking lot. Like I will truly like meet you at your car in the parking lot and like walk you to a driving range and show you how to do it. So you never feel like this is a space where you don't belong. And I think, you know, I always try to share too, like as golfers, like keep an eye out. If you're on a public course, like who might benefit from someone like any of us on this call to say like, hey, can I help you find something, or, you know, offer a little hand, just so golf doesn't have to feel so intimidating.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I think, maybe it was in the middle of COVID, remember like everything was shut down. And I remember when golf courses, like I play this course in Brooklyn called Marine Park, and they finally open up golf courses, and that was the only thing that you can do. So a lot of people started playing whatever. And I think one day I went over there for the afternoon. It's like, oh, I'm going to play like a twilight 3 o'clock. I'll go play 9 holes or whatever. It was a beautiful day. And I remember there was a moment where there was a couple that pulled up to the first hole. And like, you know, I've been playing for a while, but you can tell when someone's a beginner, like they've got the new set of clubs and
iron covers.
Right, shout out Iron Covers, and that like that fresh excitement of like, we're gonna go play golf today, which is, you can just see it and you can feel it coming off of them, which is really cool. And then they were in front of me on the first hole and they were hitting a bunch of balls off the first tee, and I was just sitting there waiting for my turn. I'm behind them, but I remember I had a moment where I had to check myself, because I immediately got stressed. I was like, oh, I'm gonna be behind them and it's slow. And then I had to say, hey, dude, like the way that you're thinking about this is completely wrong. Like they're here. They're excited to play golf. The last thing they need is some idiot like telling them that they're playing too slow. You know, so I think what happened was the guy hit like 3 or 4 balls off the tee. He hit one left, hit one right. And you just don't know. Like you're just trying to play. And I was like, all good, dude. And I think I walked up to the tee and I said, hey, you know, you can either walk up or pick a ball or just drop a ball in the fairway and keep it going, because you just don't know. And they said, oh, thank you, that's cool. And then they went off and had a great day. But I think it's interesting, you know, to your point when you brought up like helping the beginners understand the game and not feel intimidating. It's really important. And there's something in golf. I think we all have to take a little bit of accountability. There's a lot of things that are prioritized. Pace of play, like dress code. And don't get me wrong, these things are cool, but at the same time, we can't complain about pace of play, but at the same time, want to get new people on the golf course who will not understand what pace of play even means. You have to figure out the middle ground and like let some things slide. Like, all right, you came to play golf today and you have on a hoodie. Great. You're here. Like, let's go. Like, let's go play. And then we can deal with the other things later, or in time realize that like the things that we are complaining about don't matter. Like, I don't care what you wear or whatever. So anyway, that's my ramble, but it's this interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Alexis, sorry, I went on for a while. I'd love to hear, because I know you just started a YouTube channel, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, like you've played, like you're making content, you're doing a lot of interesting things. I've seen you on, you know, on Instagram, like on broadcast, doing so many different things. What was the moment for you that said, hey, this is kind of what I want to pursue? Like, this is my life.
Yeah, I don't know still. I stopped playing professionally about a year and a half ago. And it kind of just honestly came from just a mental breakdown, just a lot of life things, a lot of golf things. And so, you know, you hear that phrase, I think it's like 90% of the time sports quits you, you don't quit sport. And so I think I've just kind of been on this journey of what is next. I've always enjoyed media. And I've always enjoyed doing golf plus and creating something. Collaboration's been the biggest heart, and golfing for good. And so I think where I'm utilizing all these tools is eventually sports diplomacy via media and golf. And so that's been the joy, is just the ride, is figuring out what the next 5 years look like. Obviously, there's goals there, but how to get there.
That's really fun. I saw you had and I've seen some of the videos that you do that are very quick, digestible tips and whatnot, for golfers to kind of just like learn and pick up very like the golf for dummy stuff, which I think is very fun and very valuable. I feel like a lesson, when one of the reasons why I love Liz is that she has a really good way of taking very complex ideas or ideas that seem very complex and making them very simple. Where can people see these videos that you've made? Is it just on YouTube or is it YouTube, Instagram? Like, where are you going to be focusing that stuff?
Yeah, YouTube and Instagram. I feel like YouTube's been a great start for me of kind of being able to put my ideas out there, things, content that I want to do, shows that I might want to create one day. And so that's what I use YouTube for, is kind of a longer form if you need a little bit more, you know, outside of the quick tips. And then quick tips on Instagram. The thing is, I'm not an instructor. Liz is a phenomenal instructor, but I hear people all the time, to your point earlier, is, you know, you want to make sure you load here and then the gravity force will take you this way about 90 degrees and make sure you hit this iron. And when I take friends out, they're like, what's an iron? What's a driver? You know? Yeah. And so finding ways. Also, I think it's really important when you're bringing someone into the game of golf is to really get to know them. And so if it's a corporate event that I'm doing, if I'll be in Kenya next month, so if it's like kids in Kenya, it's really important for me to understand the culture and the people. Therefore I can explain the game of golf a lot easier. So if I'm working with a basketball player and they're like, hey, I want to get into golf. I'm like, yeah, come on, let's go hang out. Let's go play. But I also know how to explain the game of golf like basketball. So I think that's just like the biggest thing, is finding, there's so many great people on Instagram and YouTube that explain the game in their own ways. And so wherever you are, just finding someone that you connect with.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
And I don't know if you find this, Alexis, but I find that in my experience, that women are better instructors than men. I feel like, to your point, like every time I've gotten a lesson from a guy, it's like, angles like 45 degrees and then you're loading and I'm like, okay, 0% am I going to think about that? But I feel like every time I've ever had a lesson from a female instructor, they compare it to like a movement that I do in my life, like pretend, yeah, like you are like throwing like a ball against the wall, and they break it down in a way that's like so digestible and I can like imagine my body doing that movement in other areas of my life. Obviously everybody learns in a different way, but I find in swing sessions, one, it's really important that a female is teaching all of these other women just for them to feel safe and comfortable. But two, like overhearing the way that they're breaking the swing down, I'm like, that's so smart and that's so easy. And why are all these men out here overcomplicating it?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that complicated. You guys are making it complicated.
It really doesn't have to be complicated. And and there is a beauty of the science behind it.
Sure.
Right?
Totally. Yeah.
But in just like starting out, I always tell people, if you go to an instructor in the first 10 to 15 minutes, y'all aren't just talking about who you are and they're not getting to know you, don't go back to them.
Right. Yeah.
The game changer of it. It's supposed to be personable. Yeah, yeah, you can swing it. You can have a good swing. I mean, look at Scotty Scheffler has won, what, 3 of the 4 tournaments he's played in this year? And he, like, has this little, like...
That's just how he swings.
It seems to work fine. So.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a fascinating take. And you're not wrong, Julie. Because when I think about it, and... Because now that I was like, wow, I was like, I never thought about it that way. And it's funny you say that because so my wife, she's a principal now, but my wife, you know, by trade is a teacher. And obviously, you know, I'm not saying that men are not good teachers, right? That's not what I'm saying, right? but I think there's something just fundamentally different between genders that I think women are just across the board when it comes to communication. Like, women are able to communicate at a, maybe, I don't want to say the word is better, maybe it is better, right? But like, women are able to communicate at a higher wavelength than men in a lot of different ways. And maybe that is that like special sauce that makes women better teachers. It's fascinating. I'm gonna think about that for the next 2 or 3 days. I'm gonna be like, interesting.
Let's back to Liz, as we're like fangirling about Liz. I remember my entire life, you know, I have like a little bit of a sway in my backswing. And when, you know, Liz is like, what's your miss? And I was like, well, you know, I think it's this way. And she's like watching me swing. She's like, if it doesn't hurt you, like, why are we fixing it?
Yeah.
And I was like, but then like every guy I've gone to, it's like, they try to be like so clinical and technical and like perfect about my golf swing. When Liz is like, it just has to work for you.
Right.
It just has to work for you.
Yeah. So fascinating.
For Scotty Scheffler, it just works for him.
Just make it work.
Why are people trying to change it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The change part is like, and obviously there's a lot of variables that go into that. The type of teacher you are, like your overall perception of ego. Like, there's all these things that are really fascinating. Like, I think my last lesson with Liz, where we worked on some stuff, I have to get my lower body to move faster than my upper body. I'm just fighting that. And like, she gives me basic drills and I do those, and I've just been trying to like go. But she said something to me that a teacher has never said to me before was, okay, these are the things you need to work on. She was like, dude, you just need to go to the range and like grind. And like, I've never had a teacher say that. And I think there's a lot of things that go into that, which I think is interesting. One, there's just honesty, right? And then two, I understand the business of teaching, and it's like, all right, well, maybe the other guys that I saw were just like trying to get another lesson or two out of me, versus like, Les is like, dude, like, here's a fundamental move. You need to go just work on this and then come back. And I was like, wow, that's refreshing to hear.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah.
We're talking about practice?
Yeah, we're talking about practice, right.
You just need reps.
Yeah.
Just reps. So anyways, that's fun stuff. Liz is going to laugh. I'm going to tell you, yeah, we were all fanning over you on the podcast.
Yeah, we can stop talking about you.
Yeah, no more Liz Breed. It's very good. Okay, one more hot take question. What do you love and hate about golf? Give us the real. Give me the real.
And I also love.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah, I just love the fact that just recently I had an event in San Antonio, Texas. That's where my mom's from. And the last time I'd been there had been like years ago for my grandmother's funeral. And I didn't realize, I don't know if you guys have read the book, The Body Keeps Score, but how much I've avoided San Antonio because of the last memory that I had there. When 98% of the memories that I've been there have been nothing but joyous. And so going there, I get to the airport and in the Uber, start like driving around and noticing things and start like bawling, crying. And then just all these positive memories start flooding back. I spent all my summers there, and things like that. And, you know, getting to go around the world and experience different things. It's just like where golf takes you. and who golf takes you to. And so I think that's the thing that I'm really, really, I think when I was playing, I missed all those moments because I was just focused on a tournament. But now I really get to kind of breathe a little bit and like take in who I'm meeting, where I'm going. And I think that's like what I'm really enjoying about golf right now.
Retweet everything you just said.
Yeah.
No, similarly, what I love about golf is that it's like uninterrupted time with the people you're playing with. And so, you know, any other sport doesn't really allow you to have conversation while playing. Like you're not like getting to know somebody as you're like dribbling down a basketball court or like playing football, but on golf, like you have nothing else to do other than have a conversation with someone else. So it is all about the time I get to spend with people and like the random people you get paired up with. Like, even if you don't exchange numbers at the end of the round, like I guarantee you like 2 years down the road, I'm like thinking about Susie from Vancouver that I played with at, on the course, like in, you know, 2015. So it's like those really special people that you'll never see again in your life, but you spent like 4 hours with. So that's what I continue to love.
Love that.
Golf.
Great.
That's dope.
Everyone that just thought of that one person that they played with.
And what I love seeing right now too, and you kind of mentioned it at the top when we were talking about playing 6 holes and 3 holes, is like more and more courses are offering different options of how to play. So like I love like all of the short courses, or like even at Sand Valley, there's like the 6-hole loop that you can play in the short course. And so for someone like us who's all played our entire lives, it's like that's fun. Like golf can be so fun. And then for someone who's brand new, it's like a little bit more accessible to get into the game because there's more options than like got to sign up and play 18 holes and you're like signing 6 hours of your life away.
Yeah, true. There's a lot of time. So 2 more questions. This is a great episode, by the way. So one, let everybody listening, if anything, like what can people keep an eye out? What are you guys working on? Thing that's coming up soon? Events, merch drops, videos, whatever. And we'll put some notes in the episode as well, just so people can know where to follow, how to check you guys out. But yeah, what can everybody keep an eye out for?
I've partnered with the city of Atlanta and helping them kind of revitalize and rethink over how they use public courses. So as they're redoing the courses, just doing a little bit of consulting and helping out. So the first course is Alfred Tutt Palms, which there's a lot of history there. You guys can check out. I think today the mural might be finished, but we put up a mural. A big thing for me is why do public courses look a lot like private courses? So putting murals up on public courses in order to kind of invite the community. We also kind of consulted to have a foodscape so the community can utilize the space outside of just golfing, and hopefully that'll bring people to the course. And then third is a museum that's happening there. So that's kind of the big project of the year. And the course opens its first 9 holes today. And then the grand opening will be May 3rd. And so, yeah, I'd say keep an eye out for that if you're flying ever into Atlanta to see and learn more about Alfred Tutt Palms, who actually integrated the game of golf in public spaces and public parks.
So rad.
That's awesome. Very cool. So, Julie, what's coming up next for Sydney James?
Because this is recorded, I'm coming to Atlanta and we'll do something together, Alexis. This is proof. I will continue to host swing sessions in New York City. So it's every other Tuesday and Wednesday, 6:30 to 8 p.m. You can check out all of the different dates on the site. And then we're expanding to more cities and locations. So I just did one in LA last night, and we had 16 girls, women at Rancho Park, which was 16 women of 85 people that were playing there.
Amazing.
But I'm like, our goal in 10 years is that we're not the only 16 women at Rancho Park. We're more 50-50.
Yeah.
And then I think I mentioned earlier, we'll be doing a scramble at Flushing Meadows Pitch and Putt on May 17th. So grab a five some, and I'll continue to post some details and updates on the site or on Instagram. And I'm working on, which we'll be launching this summer, is a pant and a skort. So evolving the collection beyond kind of the everyday lifestyle essentials and into some stuff you could actually wear on the golf course, whether you're public or private or nine holes or six holes, which I'm really, really excited about. It's been a really incredible journey learning everything about product and fabric development, and I'm excited to see it on somebody's body.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah, we should definitely talk more, because yeah, as these events and whatnot come up, yeah, we'll post them, get more eyeballs on them. We'd love to, because it's like anything for us at Fair Game, anything that is letting people know what's happening in golf and encouraging more ways to play, like whoever, like, yeah, let's do it. So yeah, send us some information and we'll help get it out there, spread the word. Okay, last question. When and where is your next round of golf?
I'll go. Today, 1 p.m., I'm playing Indian Wells with my husband and one of my old bosses.
Love it. Are you guys playing a specific, has there been an established game yet? Or just, we're just going to play whatever, just hit some shots?
We haven't established a game yet, but I do love to gamble on the golf course. So
I will figure out what game it is after you hit your warm-up balls. Is this like a match game or a stroke? You know,
yeah. Totally.
How you're hitting for the day.
Totally. Yes, there will be a game, and I will decide once I get there.
Fantastic. What about you, Alexis? When and where are you playing next?
Yeah, probably on my phone. I'll probably like some video game while I'm waiting to pick up some people today. But playing outside on course, shall I say, will probably be tomorrow at Bobby Jones Golf Course.
Nice. Awesome. Good stuff.
Well, what's yours?
I'm going to play on Sunday with some friends. That is my next confirmed round of golf. This course called St. George's out on Long Island. But I'm going to try to sneak out this afternoon. I might try to get in nine holes. I don't know. It's 1 o'clock. I might just go to the range and just like be outside. It's like mid 50s right now. So I don't know. So yeah, Sunday's my next confirmed round.
Okay. But my question to you is, what's your like nine hole going to sneak out course?
Oh, great question. I alternate between Marine Park, which is, I'm in Long Island City, so I'll go south to Brooklyn, or depending on what the traffic looks like, I will go north to the Bronx, Pelham Bay Park, Split Rock. It just depends on how the traffic looks. I just look at the map and say, is it crazy north or south? And then I just pick the closest one. But I'm honestly probably just going to go to the range. I just want to be outside.
Well, Liz Breed, not to bring her back up, but
yeah,
she did tell you, you just need to go.
I need to go to the range and just like, I got to go grind. Yeah, that's it.
Because I will probably see her. She's going to ask what you've been doing.
Exactly. Right. You know what it's like? It's almost like when you go to the dentist and you have an appointment booked and you start flossing like 7 days prior, just so you don't get like, that's the mode that I'm. Yes. Excessively flossing. That's the mode that I'm in now. Let me go work on some stuff. So she's like, dude, what have you been doing? Like, she's like, I went to Europe for 2 weeks and like everything fell apart. What happened? I mean, like, oh, you know, so I got to go to the range.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for the time. That was fun.
Thank you so much. This was great.